11th principle. The majority of the people may alter or abolish a government which has become tyrannical. The founders were well acquainted with the vexations resulting from an abusive autocratic government which had imposed injuries on the American colonists for 13 years in violation of the English Constitution. Thomas Jefferson's words in the Declaration of Independence therefore emphasize the feelings of the American people when he wrote, quote, "Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security." End of quote. Once again, we find John Locke setting forth this same doctrine in his classical second essay concerning civil government. Quote, "The reason why men enter into society is the preservation of their property. Therefore, whenever the legislators endeavor to take away and destroy the property of the people, or to reduce them to slavery under arbitrary power, they, the officials of government, put themselves into a state of war with the people, who are thereupon absolved from any further obedience, and are left to the common refuge which God hath provided for all men against force and violence. Whensoever, therefore, the legislative shall transgress this fundamental rule of society, and, either by ambition, fear, folly, or corruption, endeavor to grasp themselves or put into the hands of another an absolute power over the lives, liberties, and estates of the people, by this breach of trust, they, the government officials, forfeit the power the people had put into their hands, and it devolves to the people, who have a right to resume their original liberty and provide for their own safety and security." End of quote. Power rests in the majority. However, it is important to recognize that the government was established by the majority of the people, and only a majority of the people can authorize an appeal to alter or abolish a particular establishment of government. As Locke pointed out, quote, "When any number of men have, by the consent of every individual, made a community, they have thereby made that community one body, with a power to act as one body, which is only by the will and determination of the majority. And thus every man, by consenting with others to make one body politic under one government, puts himself under an obligation to every one of that society to submit to the determination of the majority and to be concluded by it." End of quote. No right of revolt in a minority. This being true, Locke pointed out that there is no right of revolt in an individual, a group, or a minority, only in the majority. As he stated elsewhere, quote, "For if it, the unlawful act of government, reach no farther than some private men's cases, though they have a right to defend themselves, yet the right to do so will not easily engage them in a contest, it being as impossible for one or a few oppressed men to disturb the government where the body of the people do not think themselves concerned in it. But if either these illegal acts have extended to the majority of the people, or if the mischief and oppression has light struck only on some few, but in such cases as the precedent and consequences seem to threaten all, and they are persuaded in their consciences that their laws and with them their estates, liberties, and lives are in danger, and perhaps their religion too, how they will be hindered from resisting illegal force used against them, I cannot tell. End of quote. Virginia Declaration of Rights. In other words, the majority are then likely to revolt just as the American founders did when their plight had finally become intolerable. Certainly there was no significant confusion in the minds of the founders as to their rights and proper recourse when they approached their moment of critical decision in 1776. The Virginia Assembly passed the Virginia Declaration of Rights on June 12, 1776, which provided in Section 3 as follows, quote, that government is or ought to be instituted for the common benefit, protection, and security of the people, and that, when any government shall be found inadequate or contrary to these purposes, a majority of the community hath an indubitable, inalienable, and indefeasible right to reform, alter, or abolish it in such manner as shall be judged most conducive to the public weal. End of quote. So, granted that the people are sovereign, and a majority of them can take over whenever necessary to restructure the political machinery and restore liberty, what is likely to be the best form of government which will preserve liberty? The answer to this question was a favorite theme of the American nation builders.